God's been revealing some important things to us that we want to share with you. Things are going to come to our country. They're going to come to our state. They're going to come to Grand Rapids. They're going to come to this part of Grand Rapids greater area. I don't know if they're going to come to Kalamazoo, because I talked to some of the people down that way and they hadn't heard anything yet from God. But how do we know? Things that are coming, there is no reason to worry. There's no reason to panic. There's no reason for that, because God is telling us for a reason. He's telling us how to prepare so that we don't have to panic and run in circles when things happen. I think some people in Japan wish they'd had a little more notice, and some who are listening probably did. But we have to be able to hear God in order to know what's coming. There's a lot of ways to hear God. We hear things. Things leak back to us through all kinds of people. And somebody came back and said that somebody at men's meeting, Lloyd, said, why is everybody talking all these visions and dreams? Why don't we just go with the prophecy that's in the Word of God? We do. That's one of the ways we hear God. And I love that Lloyd said it. That's why I said your name out loud. I love that he said it. We are a Word-based church. We are a safe foundation built on the Word of God. If something doesn't agree with the Word of God, don't trust it. There's the Word of God. There's the voice of your shepherd, Jesus. There's prophecies. There's visions. There's dreams. All of them are ways God's communicating with us. But if you just go off in visions and dreams and you're not locked into knowing the Word, you get deception. If you trust all your visions and dreams and what you think God says to you all by yourself, you're going to get into deception.
Right.
God knows that we're weak humans and that we have imagination and that we have opinions and we have fears. And if one person alone says, I don't need the rest of you because I hear God, they're going to go into deception.
Right.
We need each other. We need confirmation from the Word, from other prophets, from other people who walk with God. We need each other as a team to know what we're hearing is true. I'm not going to tell you the visions and dreams that we've had, because we went through only the overview of that for the last 2 years, and it took us a 3-hour business meeting to do just the overview. What I will tell you is if you were here during those 2 years, you've already heard them. And if you weren't, go get the 3 CDs from that long meeting of leadership, and you can hear everything that I shared. And you still won't get the details, because if I shared the details, you'd have to sit here for 2 years. And we just don't have 2 years. So if you want to know what the visions are, ask Cecil to get you the 3 CD copies, and you can sit there for 3 hours through that boring meeting like everybody else had to. So, how do we hear God? How do we know things are coming? The Old Testament, the prophecies, and also the New Testament. But 2 Timothy 3:1 says, this also know, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Joel 2:28 says, it shall come to pass afterward, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall see dreams. Your young men shall see visions. In other words, it's not only the leaders. It's not only those who are in charge of your church that are hearing. All of you are hearing. All of you are having dreams. Are you paying any attention to them? And are they dreams from the movie you watched or the pizza you ate? Or have you given God space in your sleep to know that they're God's dreams? I mean, if you just watched murder on TV and you're dreaming murder, you're dreaming what you're watching on TV. Sorry, that's not from God. But if you give God yourself when you go to bed at night, you know what the Bible says? Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. When you go to bed, the one reason God visits us in a dream is because we're vulnerable. We're open. We can't argue with Him. We can't add our logic to it. We're out of control. So if you go to bed in the Spirit of God, you can receive His dreams. If you go to bed with the demon of anger, guess who you're open to all night? The evil spirit realm. Don't go to bed in an evil spirit. You're sleeping with the enemy. You don't want to do that. You're vulnerable. You're out of control to the wrong realm. But if you want godly dreams, just give God your night. Let Him have your dreams. He wants to bring dreams. He wants to. And He keeps saying, listen to the children, listen to the children, listen to the children. Why? Because they're so close to God. They haven't got as long of a sin record as us. They're not as set in their belief systems as we are. They're not as proud and stubborn as we are. So their spirits are more tender. And we've been listening to the children. Children are amazing. Jackson drew a picture last week. First of all, I'll show you this brief little vision because I'm going to explain this one more. I saw three great winds. One was like right in my face, and then there was one in the middle, and then there was one on the horizon. And God said, one is here, one is near, one is coming. I don't know what the winds mean. And when we try to figure out what it means, it could be this, it could be that, we mess it up.
Right.
We mess it up. Got to wait till he tells us. But on the very same day that I saw those that morning, that night at church, Carson was seeing tornadoes and talking about it. Jackson drew a picture of a big rock with three rocks attached. He was very emphatic with this picture. He said, you know, like the Bible said, build your house on the rock. And these three rocks are tied into the big rock. And then all the rest of this is sand because this big wind came and it blew the sand everywhere. But those rocks didn't move because they're strong. Winds. Winds. We've had visions of winds. We've had visions of devastation. We don't know where it came from. We've had a lot of visions about fire. We've had so many visions, they can't all be the same incident. And it comes down to, if you take them and you compare them, I am thinking there's maybe three different types of devastation that are coming. Don't know exactly what, and I don't know when. What I do know is God said, prepare. Just prepare. Do what he tells you to do to prepare, and you will be ready, and you will be safe. So we hear God in dreams and visions, in prophecies. And in Acts 2, it's repeated. God took that Old Testament thing in Joel, and he brought it in and made sure it got printed in the New Testament. Why? Because it's for the last days. You know, God said something to Daniel and said, don't write it because it's for the end times. He said something to John in the book of Revelation. He said, don't write it. It's for a time to come. Well, that's just like a worm to a fish. Put that in front of my face. Well, God, now it's the time to come. We're in those last days. So if you told them and it wasn't even for their lifetime, I want you to tell me. Tell me, because we're closer to it being on time than they were, so why can't I know? You want to know? Do you want to know? I heard somebody outside of men's meeting say, we need to go in men's meeting and teach on prophecy. No. We need to hold some classes on prophecy, and if you really want to know, you need to set apart time and come to them.
That's right.
Because you know what? You can't be a prophet if you won't appoint God the time.
That's right.
You can't be a prophet if you won't set yourself aside.
That's right.
You won't be a prophet if you're going to wear your feelings on your sleeve and get offended, because you're going to offend people and they're not going to like you sometimes. You can't be a prophet if you won't speak the truth that he gives you. Why would he talk to you if you won't do what he says? Why will he talk to you if you won't heed what he says? If you want to be a prophet, you must separate yourself unto God. I had another burning bush vision this morning, you know, because I'm always thinking like, I don't have any talent to paint. I seriously do not have talent. I'm not being humble and being honest. I don't see in 3D. I only use my right eye. I don't see dimension. I can't. I go outside and I say, oh, God, that's beautiful. I want to paint it. I go try to paint it. It looks like kindergarten art. I can't paint what I want. I can't paint what I see. I just love color, and I put on worship music, and I start putting down color, and God says, put this color, and I go, I don't like that color. I think that's kind of ugly. He says, do it, and I do it. And eventually something comes out of it, and God did it. God does it. I don't have that kind of talent. But this morning, when I was up on that mountain of God, and I thought about a song, standing on a mountain, I can see those for miles. What's the next line in that? Something about the beauty, the splendor of what all God made, creation, floods my gaze. And I'm standing on the mountain up there, and I'm looking off that mountain, thinking that song. Wow, what beauty. What has God created? And he said, you want to see something more beautiful? Turn around and just look in the fire at the Creator. You can see him in what he created, or you can go closer and see him, the Creator. That fire again. You want to be a prophet, you got to live in the fire. You got to live in the fire. Do we sin? Absolutely. I probably sin more than any of you. My big mouth, I hate days where I talk to a lot of people. You know, in the multitude of words, there doesn't lack any sin. Every time I talk all day long, I end up repenting all night long. And my mouth just gets me in trouble. The more people you're around, the more you're going to judge, criticize, condemn, you know, pride. Repent, 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 repent. But you have to decide you want to live in the fire. I just got to take it as a side note, as delicately as I can. The other morning, the burning bush. I'm going to word this delicately so you with grown-up ears listen closely. God said the reason that bush doesn't burn is because it yields to the fire. Yields to the fire. Adult married people in intimacy, especially for a female, there must be a yielding. I, as a rape victim, can tell you when there is a resistance, there is pain. All your muscles tense up and there's extreme pain. But when you yield to the fire, it doesn't hurt you. And when you actually give yourself to the fire, there is pleasure. And God used that illustration for yielding to the fire. Last night, Harvey offended me. Eric was over here, and Eric, somebody mentioned my books that I wrote, the children's books that are buried in drawers and don't go anywhere. I wanted to be a writer when I was a child. I wanted to be a writer. I wanted to be an artist, and I wasn't exceptionally good at either one. I can't spell very well, and my grammar is horrible because I went in the front door of school and out the back, you know. But I didn't get a lot of recognition in my house, but my mom and my sister loved everything I wrote, and they loved everything I drew. So I think my confidence was a little bit in that area. If I have any talent, it must be there, you know. That was my acceptance point. So I start writing some children's books that I didn't want to write. God was just downloading them into me, and they were meant to bring children into the very presence and awareness of God. I spent myself for about 3 years on those books. I studied animals. I studied their habits. I studied their functions. I created drawn characters and then later ditched it all and took pictures of live characters, but I drew the animals, and I went out and did photography and got my son to do photography, and I poured my life into those books for 3 years. Whatever God gave me, and then creating the stories and the conversations, hard for me because I'm not a detailed person, but I created the conversations. And I would finish one, and I would wait for Harvey to read it so he could edit my grammar, my spelling, you know, and fix all my mistakes. And then Tom Bausma would edit it for me, and then my friend Lois would edit it for me. And sometimes I'd take it even to Janiyah because I have a lot of mistakes. So I got editing of that type of thing. But last night when he brought them up, there was a statement that I handed Harvey an outline and he filled in the meat. I was so offended. I said, my books? My books? Just like, you wrote my books? And he tried to fix it last night in bed. I said, I was so hurt when you said that. I guess it's my pride. It's like, I don't even care if anybody reads them, but it was like something I felt good about, something I poured my life into, and it was all from God, and they were my stories, my conversations, my books. And you acted like all I did was make a little skinny bone skeleton, and you put the meat on it, you know? And he said, Let me, how can I fix this? I don't want to hurt you. How can I fix it? It's like you gave me a skeleton and I put the story in it. I went, it's getting worse, Harvey. Please stop talking. You didn't write my story. I wasn't mad at him, but I was hurt. I was really hurt. And I laid there and I thought about it and I said, I'm going to get up and I'm going to get them all and I'm going to throw them in the fire and I'm going to burn them because they're no good. They're not any good and they're not even mine. And I just, okay, poor me, you know, all these spirits are jumping all over me. And then it was like, give yourself to the fire. What's God after in this? And I said, God, you brought this up. There's something here. There is my pride, and then there is my insecurity. Are they only good if Harvey says so? Do they only mean something if Harvey says I like them? And I've been there with the paintings. No painting leaves this house until Harvey approves it. What if God likes it and Harvey doesn't? Well, now we'll attack his pride, because I turned over and I said to him, you know what? God doesn't want me to need your acceptance. He only wants me to need his. And I said, you know, I've needed your acceptance for everything I write. I need your acceptance for everything I paint. And what if it's really good and you can't see it? And he said, I don't think that could happen. I think I would know. And I went, what if you don't know? What if you think it's horrible and God likes it anyway? Well, I just don't see that happening. And I said, well, I need to see that happening because I don't need to need your approval. Anyway, God took me and I started saying, okay, God, you got it. Let the fire burn. No pride, no need. I'll publish the books, I'll publish the pictures, or I'll burn them all. Whatever. Who I am is not in them. Who you are is in them, and when you're done with them, you can burn them. Because it's all yours, and I don't care. I don't care if I'm insecure. I don't care what he says. I don't care. You got it. Burn it up. And he burned it up. We resist. It hurts. He was attacking something I didn't want him to burn up, and it hurt until I gave it to him. And then it felt really good. It felt good to get free from all that need. Don't need that now. Wait, was that a side note? I've learned how to rabbit trail from my dear husband. I'm doing good on my training. We hear God through the written word. We hear God through visions and dreams, prophecies. We hear God because he's our shepherd. We hear him in the intimacy of his still small voice because he speaks to us in relationship. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. There's your safety. You know his voice. In the moment of a disaster, are you going to follow a crowd or listen to the voice? I'm not going to read the Elijah story to you. I was, but I'm not. I'm not going to read it to you, but I'm going to remind you about Elijah. Great prophet of God, did so mighty, wonderful, bold things for God, and then he got discouraged. And he got out of his place, and he went out and he hid and felt sorry for himself. There's nobody but me. He couldn't hear the voice of intimacy anymore. He couldn't, because he was blocked with spirit. So God sent angels to take him up to the mountain of God, and he had to stand there and watch three disasters happen. He saw winds, earthquakes, and fires. You know, that didn't happen in an instant just because they wrote it in one sentence. It took time to get up the mountain. It took time to watch those disasters and the devastating, powerful effects of those disasters inside of him brought him to the ability to come back in and hear that still small voice again. You see, when God sends disasters, we are not at the end of the world. We are not at the end of time. That's not what's happening. We're not at Armageddon or anything. But we are at a shaking up time. We're at a shaking time. Because he's got to get us to hear that still small voice. We've got to get serious with God. Things are coming to get us serious with God. And there's only two kinds of people. There's the perishing and the rescuing. I'd like you to go to Jeremiah 13. There's two sections of scripture that I do want to share.
Thus saith the Lord unto me, go and get thee a linen girdle, and put it upon thy loins, and put it not in water. So I got a girdle, according to the word of the Lord, and put it on my loins. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, take the girdle that thou hast got, which is upon thy loins, and arise, go to Euphrates, and hide it there in a hole of the rock. So I went and hid it by Euphrates, as the Lord commanded me. And it came to pass after many days that the Lord said unto me, arise, go to Euphrates, and take the girdle from thence which I commanded thee to hide there. Then I went to Euphrates and digged, and took the girdle from the place where I had hid it. And behold, the girdle was marred. It was profitable for nothing. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord, after this manner will I mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. This evil people which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart, and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle which is good for nothing. For as the girdle cleaves to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, says the Lord, that they might be unto me for a people, and for a name, and for a praise, and for a glory, but they would not hear. Therefore thus shall speak unto them, thou shalt speak unto them this word, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, every bottle shall be filled with wine, and they shall say unto thee, do we not certainly know that every bottle shall be filled with wine? Then shalt thou say unto them, thus says the Lord, behold, I will fill all the inhabitants of this land, even the kings that sit upon David's throne, and the priests, and the prophets, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with drunkenness. And I will dash them one against another, even the fathers and the sons together, says the Lord. I will not pity, nor spare, nor have mercy, but destroy them. Hear ye, and give ear. Be not proud, for the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God, before he caused darkness, and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while you look for light, he turn it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. But if ye will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride, and mine eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. Say unto the king and to the queen, humble yourselves, sit down, for your principalities shall come down, even the crown of your glory. The cities of the south shall be shut up, and none shall open them. Judah shall be carried away captive, all of it. It shall be wholly carried away captive. Lift up your eyes, and behold them that come from the north. Where is the flock that was given thee, thy beautiful flock? What wilt thou say when he shall punish thee? For thou hast taught them to be captains and as chief over thee. Shall not sorrows take thee as a woman in travail? And if thou say in thine heart, wherefore come these things upon me? For the greatness of thine iniquity are thy skirts discovered, and thy heels made bare. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Therefore will I scatter them as the stubble that passes away by the wind of the wilderness. This is thy lot, the portion of thy measures from me, says the Lord, because you have forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. Therefore will I discover thy skirts upon thy face, that thy shame may appear. I have seen thine adulteries and thy neighings, the lewdness of thy whoredom and thine abominations on the hills and the fields. Woe unto thee, O Jerusalem! Wilt thou not be made clean? When shall it once be?
Swelling of this pride. Why? Because people refuse to hear the word of God, walking in the imagination of their own heart, gone after other gods to serve them. What are people living for? You may say it's not my God, but if it consumes all your time, all your money, all your attention, it's your God. America has become like the useless girdle that God hid in the rock until it was rotten and useless. And I got another thing out of that this morning. He chose America. He chose America. We're still chosen. Israel was still chosen, even though this was going to happen. America is still chosen to be a glory, to be a name unto God. We're still chosen. And when he took that girdle, America's been like a great binding girdle around the whole world, holding the nations together, having power and wealth and influence. And God said, I'm going to take that girdle off of her power and influence and greatness. And I'm going to bury it in the rock. Who's the rock? Jesus. When we really get inside Jesus, all our righteousness is as filthy rags.
Right.
We see that we aren't powerful. We're not anything. We have to depend on him. He's powerful. She had to be hidden in that rock until she became useless. Useless. God had to humble Israel. God has to humble America. The prophet says to the people, God says he will fill every bottle with wine. And before he can finish the statement, they go, we already know God fills the bottles with wine. That's what a bottle's for. Of course he fills it with wine. You're not telling us anything we don't know. I already knew that. Ears that don't listen. And then Jeremiah finishes. He said, what I'm trying to tell you is that you are not listening to God. And you who don't listen will be filled with a spirit of drunkenness. When a person is drunk, they do things they wouldn't normally do. They're wacky out of their head. Their logic is gone. They can't walk straight. They can't hear right. They take everything wrong. You know why? Because it's evil spirits that come in. When you're drunk, it's evil spirits. There will be confusion. There will be deception. There will be fear and panic if you're not listening to God, if you're not receiving what he's telling you. But there's hope, because he says, hear, listen, give me your ears attentively, obediently, right now, and consider what I'm telling you. The words that jumped out to me was, give glory to the Lord your God before he causes darkness. Before your feet are stumbling in darkness and you're looking for light, you don't find it. Everything just is dark. Before the darkness comes, now is the time to listen. Now is the time to hear God. You know when the plagues came? Every time a plague came, Pharaoh said, oh no, this is terrible. I'll give God what he wants. And as soon as the plague was cleared up, he went, change my mind. People go to jail and they repent. Oh God, if only you let me out of jail. And they get out of jail and they go right back to their old life. That's not repentance. That's wanting God to be a rescuer to get you out of the disaster, but he's now not going to get your life. If you won't hear him now and say, I choose God, I give him my life, I'm surrendering to the fire. If you won't do it now, you won't do it in the darkness.
Right.
Not you. Not you. There are some perishing who will, because they haven't heard it now. Because we haven't told them yet. Because we have to go and find them. They don't know God. They can't hear his voice. But you are here because you're supposed to hear his voice. Give him your life now, before the darkness comes. Noah warned people for 120 years. 120 years by faith Noah prepared. Can you imagine 120 years of sticking to what God said without any evidence? It had never rained on the earth. Water came up from the ground. And Noah's telling people, rain's going to drop from the sky. I'm building a boat on dry land. And they're going, wacko Noah. You've been preaching that message. We're sick of hearing it. We're so sick of hearing it. Everything you say never happened. You're not really a prophet. We're going to tell you some things to do to prepare. And I'm going to give you a deadline to prepare by. And I think that's for one of the first things that's going to happen. Does that mean, I believe God said, be prepared by April 30th. And he gave us a list of preparation. We're going to be prepared by April 30th. Does that mean something's going to happen on May 1st? It could. But it might not happen for 10 years. I'm testing our obedience. I really don't know. But there's an urgency to obey what he said to do. Now, come April 30th of next year, nothing happened. Some of you are going to go, I knew it was their imagination, because nothing happened. You know, there's things that they prophesied thousands of years ago. They still haven't happened, and they're still true. We have to believe him when we hear him, and we have to obey him. The reason that prophecy gets messed up isn't because God didn't speak clearly and truly. It's because we messed it up by interpreting what we thought it meant.
Yep.
Oh, if he said by April 30th, it's going to happen in May. That's what you think. That's not what he said. He said exactly what he says. Do exactly what he says. And stop trying to figure it out with our little pea brains that can't understand spiritual greater things until we have all the facts. So we're going to be prepared. But today, for you, the warnings are here now. And I'm telling you, when I came to the part where God said that he weeps in secret, the weeping, the grieving, the reality of what happened when the people who didn't hear God were destroyed, and how it broke his heart. You know, God doesn't want to punish. He doesn't want to punish. He is so long-suffering, not willing that anyone should perish. He didn't create hell for you. He created hell for the devil.
Right.
You have to really work hard to reject all the goodness of God and choose to go there on your own.
Yep.
What more could he do? He's holy. He's holy. You cannot come in his presence with sin, or his holiness like a great fire will burn you up. So he came down here himself and took all your sin and paid for it himself so that he could forgive it and you could come to him. What more could he do if we don't come to him? If we don't choose him, what more can he do? I don't understand. I don't understand. And when I saw God weeping and I saw the people perishing and I saw him weeping and saying, I don't want them to perish. One day there was a national, some disaster somewhere in the world here in reality, in our lifetime. And on that day, a lot of people died. I don't remember if it was the Katrina, the 9/11. I don't remember. It was something where a lot of people died. And God took me into his presence and I just sat there weeping in spirit as he wept and said, so many today have gone into eternity without me. Break his heart. It is not his choice. It is our choice. And it is foolish to choose it. With a great loving God who created you in his image, put you here with the purpose of who you really are, what you're put here to do. And when you give in to him, your life is satisfied, completed. You have the love, you have the healing, you have the purpose and the power of an almighty, real God. And we say, no, I'd rather go over here and do what I want to do that leads to destruction and misery and rejection and pain. I don't get it. I get it, but I still don't get it. Now is the time to listen. John 16. Do you have a mic, Tom? He's still talking about how we hear him and how we know we hear him today.
These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto him?
That's good. That's good. I didn't have it in front of me, so that's as far as we needed that one to go. There will be rejection by religious groups. They say they serve God, but if they're not walking in the relationship with God, then they're living by the rules, and we will be rejected just like Jesus was by a lot of religious. You go and tell some religious people stuff God's telling you, they're not going to believe you. They're going to say, you wacky cult. Let them say it. Jesus said, remember that I told you. Remember I told you. Let those words burn into your mind right now. Remember that I told you. When he tells you something, you have to hold on to it. You have to remember, Jesus told me this, and I'm not letting it go. I don't care what I see, think, feel, or what others think. When the comforters come, he'll reprove the world of sin. There'll be conviction of their sin, of righteousness, because Jesus is taken out. We have to preach his righteousness and of judgment. How does he reprove the world? He lives inside of us. That means we have to tell the things God tells us to tell. We have to announce and proclaim to everybody he sends us to. Some things that are hard for them to hear, some things that are hard for you to say. You have to be bold. If you love people, you have to risk their rejection and their laughter. You have to do it. God has told me some things in our preparation I had to take to my family, and I thought my family would be saying, okay, Mom, now you flip. They thank you. They thank you for helping me to flip. Jesus said, I have many things. You cannot bear them now. He sent the Holy Spirit of truth to guide us into truth, to show us things to come, and to glorify Jesus, to get what Jesus wants to say and show us to us. There's prophecy, there's revelation, there's a still small voice, there's relationship with God. If you only follow written words, you don't know how to apply it, where to apply it, when to apply it. He has to speak to you in spirit. You have to receive his voice. For a long time, God has been preparing us for this time, and times that are coming still far ahead of it. There's been character training. There's been repentance, deep healing, visions, dreams, prophecies, and I can't repeat them all, but if you've been here, you've been hearing it. Maybe it just went in one ear and out the other, and you need to go back and get on the website and listen to some of it again. We have seen the hard times coming. Our prophets being accountable one to another. We aren't going to put out anything to you that we have not confirmed. We're not putting out our guesses and our feelings and what we think it might mean. We're wanting to tell you what God has shown. God has given us a way to prepare. That I can't interpret what that preparation means for you. You will be saved if you're listening. God told us nearly a year ago, he said, when there is a devastation in Michigan that displaces people and you can't find your loved ones, tell your family, run to the Somme. Go to Mount Port Hope. So Harvey and I took a trip there. And we were searching. Where would we tell them to go in Port Hope? We ended up at a bed and breakfast. And the owners of the bed and breakfast told us, God placed us here to be a safe house when disaster happens. That's confirmation. Now that's what I gave to my family. And I shared it with you. You may want to ask God, what is a safe place? Where could my family meet? Maybe your family is in a different state. What would be a safe place for them to go to? Don't imagine things. Don't make it up. Don't use your logic. You need to go and ask God because he's the only one who knows what's safe.
Right.
He knows where the wind will blow and where it won't. He knows where the fire will burn and where it won't burn. You can't think of a good safe place.
Right.
Only God knows what's safe.
Right.
You have to be in communication with him.
Yes.
If you're not in communication with him, I will gladly and willingly share Port Hope with you. So you're welcome to go there if you have any chance to do so. You might need some extra gas put away to get there. Like Japan right now, they can't buy gas. So they're telling them, get 20 miles away from this area. You don't have any gas, so it's going to be a nice long hike, I guess. You can't buy gas. I'm sure there's a lot of people in Japan right now still looking for loved ones. They can't find them. If they would have been listening to God, maybe they would have had a safe place to meet up. Only God can tell you what's safe, and he wants to take care of you. Just let him. What he really wants is a real relationship with you. And
right.
In that, he'll take care of you.
Right.
So we've seen visions. We've had dreams. We've heard the voice of our shepherd many, many times. But right now, there was something different. Right now, there was an urgency in our prophets, urgency in our leadership here. There was an urgency. We need to prepare right now. And this urgency began before the earthquake in Japan, not as a result of. I am so glad I date my journal because I can go back and say, wow, God told me this long before that happened in Japan. I am not responding. One of my daughter-in-laws, when when I told them some safety measures, she laughed and said to my son, I wondered when your mama get in on this. She always gets in on, like, people responding and what I'm not responding to Japan. We probably won't have the same thing. We could, but we don't know. Our flesh has a tendency to stop believing if we don't see proof. We cannot do that because things usually do not happen the way we think they will. It's usually different than we envisioned it. I do believe that there's three big disasters coming. I've seen visions where there were three. There's information we brought together that seems to indicate three. One could be now, one could be way down the road, one could be way, way down the road, or they could all three happen in a day. I don't know. I have no idea. The time for our ministers to lead, to stand firm, and to be ready and be unified with as much plan as God will give us. We're not going to have any panic at all. This is going to shake things up and open the door to harvest and souls
right.
for Jesus. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. To open the door of harvesting souls for Jesus. We're going to need evangelists. And it's a really funny thing. We have not been evangelizing very much. And that's his major, major shining anointing. We go in towns and win 600 people a year. We travel around America just winning souls like that and teaching people how to do that. And then all of a sudden, God puts that on a back burner and says, I don't want to bring the multitudes into this place right now. I'm training my ministers for something. And then the other day, we're sitting down there and writing, what do we see the anointing of some of these people on? You know, I don't like to tell you your anointing. I like you to tell me. But Harvey and I talk about your anointing. And we counted it out, and we've got 10 to 12 evangelists in this body. You're the rescuers, so you're going to actually go right out there after a devastation and find the victims and bring them in. You're going to do that. That's what you're here for. We know a preacher down in Georgia. He's got an awesome ministry. He teaches the fivefold. He does not have one evangelist. We have 10 or 12 in this tiny little body. There's a reason for that. We need them. We need you. We need you in touch with God. We need you living in the fiery presence of God. You don't want to walk out there without Him. You won't know what you're doing. God told us to set up 4 safe houses, and that's really funny too. We had no idea about this when we lost our building and went into house churches. But now in this time of preparation, He has shown us. He so pre-plans everything. One thing I love is that God said, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof in this season. The earth is His and the fullness thereof, and He's giving it to us. All the resources of earth, the secrets that only God knows, He'll put in our hands as we need it. Now, doctors don't know this, but toothpaste has a powerful healing thing in it for certain viral things. It caused sores in your mouth. Maybe all over your body. I didn't put any toothpaste all over my body. But I did put it in my mouth, and it worked. And it was confirmed by Glenn. God told him the same thing. He had sores in his mouth. God said, put toothpaste all over it. And it healed sores that weren't healed by anything else. God has hidden resources for us. It's really cool. Really cool. 7 years ago, God had me mix up a medicine that He said would be here someday when there's a plague that nothing else could cure. Gave me the recipe for it. Sounded kind of weird until my friend came over and showed me she had the same recipe God had given her for the same purpose. That has been aging for 7 years. I have it broken down into little bottles. There will be plenty of it all 4 safe houses. I don't know if we're going to need it right away or 7 more years, but it will be at the safe houses for you. It will be there. Toothpaste will be there. The Lord told Patty, before we had tested this toothpaste thing, He told Patty to go out and buy sample-sized toothpaste to put in little kits that everyone that comes needs to get a sample-sized toothpaste. And she's like, God, are you sure? I mean, and people need to be fed and healed, and you want me to give them toothpaste? Is that really you, God? And then Glenn and I both experienced the healing of toothpaste. You see how He confirms things? So we're not being wacky. That's why we need a team. We need that confirmation. I'll get a little more weird with you as we go, okay? God leads through authority. And God divided that authority into 4 houses for this safe time. And he prepares them, and he set them up. And the authorities do see what's coming. They do. They see it. They get it. They're hearing God. They know. And they're ready. And they're ready to get ready. Glenn has been just like working every day. He calls it play. See how he loves to work for God? Can I come over and play again today? But he's put locks on doors. He's helping to put in gas lines. He's whatever God tells us needs to happen to the safe house, Glenn does it. He makes sure it happens. He's running around and they're taking care of all kinds of things happening. Patty's house, I just love this. I just love this. And God, who got planted at Patty's house are the animal lovers. We didn't try that. We didn't say, okay, who's got animals? They have to go to Patty's house for church. We never thought about animals. But I don't love animals, sorry to tell you. Those dogs aren't coming in here on that day. I love them when they stay in your house. I do not want them in mine. I own two pet stores and I'm animals. I don't want any more smelly animals around. Sorry if that offends you. I'm not an animal person. I'm two people to have time for that. But they're all the animal lovers were assigned to Patty, and we never even thought about that. Carson has a vision. Carson, listen to the children. And Tom and Patty with their dog. Who else was with you? Walking with you.
Eric.
No, they were already there, weren't they? At your house. Waiting for you.
No.
You tell the vision.
Because it's
okay. Well, they all went to the blue house. Yeah. And it started standing out to me because God has also placed nurses. They don't have the paper saying I'm a nurse, but they're God's nurses by spirit. They will nurse people. And guess what nurse he put at Patty's house? Frankie. Who loves animals? Nursing, and she'll nurse your animals for you too if they need it. So, and Jackie, you got two animal loving nurses over there at Patty's house. You know, there are no animal loving nurses at my house. If you brought your dog here, he just wouldn't get all the top notch care you want him to have. You know, so that was awesome. Janiah's house. Before they bought their house, before we even knew he would have churches in her house, God had shown me a vision saying there is good water on that land. This is the funniest thing. You don't put wells inside of houses. But if the well were outside the house, if there was any contamination, it could get corrupted. Her house is 100 years old, and before anybody told them they couldn't, they built onto the house, which now put the well inside the house. And there's water in it. And Glenn's checking it out so that we could pump it out by a thingy pump, whatever you call that thing.
We found the well, we tested it, and now we're putting
funny. So one of the preparations, we bought some barrels that we can put water in, so we'll have some water. And water is going to be a commodity. Prophets keep hearing that. Water, one day, is going to be a commodity. You are going to be searching for clean water. Guess what Big Ed did yesterday? Who does Helping Hands for Jesus, you know? He said, could you guys use some bottled water? Because I have a whole lot of it, and I can get a whole lot more, because I have connection with Ice Mountain. It's our favorite brand.
He said I've got up to 10 cases if you want. How many of them would you like? And there are 36 in a case, 24 ounces. What is? And I said, Ed, that's what God's going to tell me. He said, well, how many do you want? I said,
all you can get.
And he said, well, there's this lady that used to work with Ice Mountain who's retired now, but whenever they have excess or whatever, they bring trailer loads.
Big truck trailer.
Semi loads
of it.
And she has, he said, and so she has access to all this. He said, how many, you know, like, he said, I can get like 100 cases at a time. And I said, after you bring the 10, I want you to go get 100 cases. Because God's been telling me that. That's what God's been telling me. You need to get bottled water.
Right.
Because we're going to be in four different houses. Whatever, anyway.
Okay, when we give each person who comes, we only had in our little limited thinking, if we had enough to give each person one bottle, they could put their name on their bottle, and then everybody can, you know, refill it. We didn't know we could probably end up with truckloads of them, but it's awesome. God does provide. So when something happens, anything happens, just go to the house where you normally go to church. That's where God has planted you. If you're not near that house and you're near a different one, go there and it'll help you get you to that house. When you start talking about things, the imagination wants to take over. And when the imagination takes over, we mess it up. We start thinking about sci-fi movies and people eating rats and stuff that could happen. And pretty soon it's just a big panicky, ridiculous mess. Please don't do that. Let's just say what God says. Do what God says. What He says is wild enough. We don't need to exaggerate it. So one day God said to me, and hear this to the end, don't panic. I had the U-Line magazine, which is just a bunch of packing and shipping and supplies nobody cares about, you know, unless you're in that business. So I went to throw it away, and He said, you need to read that. Read every page until I show you what I want you to buy. So I sat back down, and I'm flipping. Don't need tape. Don't need a dolly. Don't need this. Don't need this. Don't need this. All of a sudden, I turned to gas mask. God said, that's it. I went, gas mask? Are you kidding? We need gas masks. What's going to happen, you know? The human response. Really, God, really. I will have to have that confirmed because that's pretty far out, you know, walking around like aliens in gas masks or something. And I'm thinking, so I'm pricing them just in case. Oh, it looks like it's going to be like $80 per mask, and you've told me already buy 50 blankets and pillows. You want me to buy 50 gas masks at $80 each, you know? And the first thought that came was, what good is money? Except what good it can do. Did I give you the money? Well, in fact, you did. You just gave us some loan repay, and we do have the cash. We could do that. I don't know if it's 80 times 50. I don't think we have that much money, but maybe. No. Anyway, I went, it's your money, God. Spend it any way you want. But I need that confirmed. So the next day, I go to talk to Janiyah, and I said, okay, get ready for this. I think God said we need to get gas masks. She said, oh, He told me that yesterday. Really? Then I talked to Pat, and he says, that bears witness with me. Yep, I think that's what He's saying. But now in my response is panic. I thought 50, $80 gas mask. I went back and re-looked at it. First of all, they're only about $50 to set up. But then He said, no, not 50 of those. You only need 2 per house of the big ones so that you can go outside and do what you need to do. But within the house, you can wear those little white ones, the little white paper ones. So then we went and looked at the little white paper ones. And yeah, special ones, not just your painting ones. And found that we could buy lots of those, more than 50. So we let each house order the number they felt they needed to keep their house safe, and we bought them. I will tell you they're about $4.10 plus shipping, $4.50 each. I cannot buy them for all your family. I did buy them. I bought 50 just to go give to my kids, grandkids, my brother, and his wife. I bought 50 for my family. That's what I had to go tell them that I thought they'd think I was crazy over. I said, look, you might think I'm crazy, but look at Japan. Everybody's wearing one. They're very fashionable over there. And they have been in other countries. You know, it could be radiation. It could be chemicals. We got Dow Chemical in Michigan. We have a high cancer rate here from the leakage out of Dow Chemical all the time. What if something hit Dow Chemical and all those chemicals were? You know, there's a lot of what ifs. I don't know. All I know is he said, get the white mask. So I took them to my family and I said, okay, you probably think I'm crazy, but here's your bottle of medicine. Here's your white mask, one for each in the house. It's in your Easter basket. There's a few jelly beans in there, too. You know, hope you enjoy. And they went, I don't think that's crazy. If we never need them, fine. Doesn't hurt to have them. They have been used all over the world for emergencies. And if you wait until you need it, you won't get one because they're sold out. If you want one for your family and you want to pay the $4.50, you come and bring us that. We have you covered. We have you covered in the churches. Everything that you will need, we're taking care of you. We're putting up food. We're putting up water. We're putting up pillows and blankets. We're going to take care of you. We're having a generator put in here. Each house, your shepherd can put on the bigger mask if necessary, and they can bring your cell phones every day and one computer, and we will charge them up. So you have communication by your phone and by the computer to hear the news and see what's going on. We're going to keep people informed, keep people at peace and safety. So there's nothing to fear. We've been working on this. We've been doing what God said, and we're ready. We will be ready as soon as that order gets here in 3 days. We'll be ready by 30th, like he said. So you don't need to worry. But if you personally want to take care of loved ones and family and get some of those for them, you come and we'll take your number together and we'll make another order for you. You just don't panic. Just ask God, what if it won't hit where your loved one lives? What if you try to, you know, rake out your $200 out of your bank that you can't afford to spend, and this isn't even going to affect the area where your loved one lives? I did not send them to my grandson and granddaughter and the baby up in the Adirondack Mountains in New York. I didn't feel I needed to send them one. I sent them an Easter package, minus the gas mask, because I don't think they need it up there. The key, walk in intimacy, hear his voice. Buy what he tells you to buy, nothing else, nothing else. I think some of you, he is going to tell to bring some things into the body or bring some things into your own home. But don't bring what you want. We don't even have room to store everything everybody wants. Bring what he tells you to bring. Bring it here. We're distributing everything equally. Provide to your own home what he tells you. But listen to him. Listen to him. The winds that I saw when he said one is already here, he showed me that that was a good wind. It's the wind of anointing. It's a wind of worship. And I saw a vision after that, and I saw Nate on a white horse. He was out in front of us, and he's just laughing and full of joy, and he's up on this white horse, kind of sideways, looking back at us like, you know, come on. And God said, why do you think I'm doing this awesome worship thing here right now? It's the anointing to draw you into my presence so that you're going to carry the presence of joy, laughter, confidence, peace in God. We need to give ourselves fully to this worship. Find your own place in worship. Do not be a copycat. I can't worship the way somebody else worships. Find your own place. Abandon yourself to seeking God, giving yourself to God. Get the confidence. Get the joy. Because when the ministers leave in a calm, peaceful, joyful confidence, people will follow you and say, how can you be like that? And we'll show them how. We'll bring them to Jesus. So they can be like that too. Worship is our lead right now. Worship. That's why we're having it every Sunday night for so long. Worship is preparing us to carry God. You don't want to be in a dark time without the light shining in you. We are not perishing. We are rescuers. What did God want us to do before the darkness comes? He wanted us to give Him glory. That means giving yourself. Let His glory live in you and shine out of you and cover the earth. We're His burning bush. We're His torchbearers. Dip your torch in the burning bush of God's holiness and carry His presence through this time.